Raymond M. Binkowski is not a physician or registered dietitian. The contents of this should not be taken as medical advice. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any health problem, nor is it intended to replace the advice of a physician. Always consult your physician or qualified health professional on any matters regarding your health. If you're interested in learning more about the content in this podcast, webinar, or episode, click the link in the description or comments to learn more.
Okay, Raymond, how old are you?
49.
49. Have you experienced menopause?
No, not
But
directly.
yet, you are
Indirectly,
going to
yes.
talk to us. But yet, here we are, and we're going to talk about menopause in middle-aged women. So why are we talking about that, and why should we listen to you?
So how does a middle-aged male have any background or information on menopause? This middle-aged male, myself, does because at one point in time I owned a large commercial gym, and there was a period of, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I counted 19 women that were members of my gym individually had come in to see me and say, "Hey, I am 53, I'm 47. I'm 39 and a half, and what was working isn't. I sleep like garbage. I'm gaining weight, the whole nine yards. I'm not sleeping. I'm having hot flashes. I'm absolutely miserable. Please help me." And when number 19 came in, I literally sat there and said, "I'm just a guy that owns a gym. I can help you with the workouts. I can help you with the exercise. I can make some suggestions and give you some guidance and direction on maybe how to make some food choices that make sense for your goals. But I know nothing about being a middle-aged woman that is entering menopause, in menopause, or coming out of menopause." And because I'd had so many women come in and ask for help, and some of them, in some cases, were paying for one-on-one training with our trainers, and it had worked and then didn't work, all right. Never worked, and they made an investment. Well, they wanted to talk to me, the owner, and say, "Hey, I'm really frustrated. I've spent the time, spent the money, been here. I've had your personal trainer working with me, and this is what I got." One case, I had a lady named Linda in her 50s. She spent 4 months doing some coaching and training. And she came in and she was really upset because she only lost 4 pounds and her hormones were going crazy. Like, name a menopausal symptom and she had it, right? Didn't sleep well, was drowsy, practically falling asleep at her desk midday, irritable, hot flashes, everything. She'd been out of shape all this time, all this money, 4 months, 4 pounds. And I said, "Well, if we look at the big picture, what if you weren't doing these things?" Because I've had all these other women come in over the last couple of years that have gained a crazy amount of weight. And not only did you not gain any weight, but you did lose weight. And if you keep going, eventually the hormones will start to level out. You'll be done with menopause. You'll be postmenopausal, and then you can get a sense of normalcy. So that's how I ended up becoming more familiar with these things. And my solution was seek a couple experts out, including a female women's health practitioner, a nurse practitioner that specializes in women's hormones and women's health. So I spent a bunch of time with her and learned a fair amount. And one of the first things that I learned, and I'd already seen this as these women were coming in asking for help, is you don't, not in all cases, but I would say it's fair and reasonable to say in most cases, if you're a middle-aged female experiencing symptoms of menopause, you probably don't want to see a male doctor because they can't relate. They can only relate from the secondhand experience standpoint. They can only relate from the theoretical, this is what happens. They can only relate from their practice experience. This is what we've seen with other female patients similar in age going through the same thing, they don't have a way to relate from a firsthand experience standpoint. So the first thing that I would say to anybody is, like, if you are having symptoms or you're concerned, go see a female medical professional that specializes in menopause or women's health. Don't see a male doctor. Things that our clients and members of the gym were told by male doctors. When did your mom start? When did your mom finish? Well, all right, you have a few more years. To utter and complete dismissive, like, these symptoms aren't real. You're really not, like, you're just saying you don't feel like yourself. You're just saying you're gaining weight. A complete dismissal of what their current reality was, down to one doctor even wrote at the top of our member, their patient's medical file, the patient is having self-image issues and body image issues, and happened to set the paperwork down and she read it. Okay. So go see a female practitioner that has experience, has credentials, and can relate to some of the things that you're talking about. So that's how I ended up here.
Front and center talking about it. So we say middle age, but one thing that I think we should review is, it was a piece of information that struck me when I was in my early 30s, because it said most women really start to go through changes at 35. It may be very small, it may be almost completely imperceptible, but 35 is when things actually tend to start to shift. So what are some of the age ranges that you've seen women experiencing change? And then what's the range of changes that you've witnessed too?
So, and again, everything that I shared today, and we'll preemptively have already covered this at the start of the podcast. Like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical practitioner. I'm not practicing medicine, and I'm not telling you what to do from a medical standpoint. There are qualified, credentialed people, and that's their job. I'm just sharing my experience. And in regards to the ages and things like that, there's actually three phases or stages of menopause that typically get talked about. The first one would be perimenopause, and that is usually sometime when a woman is in her 30s. And it starts to happen at different times for different people. And it can be happening, and it, one individual may notice, another individual may not. So the first phase or stage is going to be that perimenopause. And that's kind of a transition from, you know, like coming out of your teens, childbearing heirs, things are quote unquote normal hormonally, but then we start to see a shift. Estrogen and progesterone levels start to fluctuate. You might have irregular periods. Cortisol levels will change. Women do have testosterone. Their testosterone levels will decline, and they may start noticing symptoms, irregular cycles, hot flashes, night sweats, waking up in the middle of the night, decreased energy, gaining weight in their midsection, reduced libido. All of those things can be happening. And that's kind of that first step, right? And that feeds into the next step, which can be anywhere from like 5 to 10 or 13 years later, depending on who you talk to and what data, what text, what theoretical stuff you might read. But that can last 5, 10, 13 years. And then that next piece is menopause. And menopause is often defined as 12 months without a menstrual period. Okay, so 12 months, the zero cycle, right? And that typically is like age 45, so mid 40s to mid 50s. And, you know, the average age they say is around 50. And same thing, there's greater hormonal changes, estrogen production declines, you stop releasing eggs, you know, you're not ovulating like you were, if at all. And in fact, you're not if you don't have a cycle for the 12 months. Progesterone drops to about zero. Cortisol continues to fluctuate. Same types of symptoms, probably worse. And then this period is followed by the postmenopause, where estrogen's low, progesterone's low, Probably early 50s and could last most of or the entire rest of the individual's life. And then because we start seeing, or because we've seen the hormonal fluctuations and in dramatic decline, we see the some of the similar symptoms, but then we start seeing an increased risk for osteoporosis, so a decline in bone density. We start seeing additional cardiovascular risk because of the role estrogen may play with your cholesterol, to the role estrogen might play or hormones might play with arterial health. And in my layman understanding would be how elastic that arterial tissue may or may not be, and things like that. So there's three phases, right? It's going to be perimenopause, menopause, and then postmenopause. And it's going to
Okay.
start somewhere after age 30, and then it will end somewhere usually in the mid 50s.
Okay. So, from your perspective, would you say that some women, whether it be genetically or otherwise, are just predisposed to have an easier time with menopause, and some are a little bit more predestined to have a more severe experience?
Yeah, I don't. I and again, from my vantage point, anecdotally, it seems that everybody's experience is different. Though it may be similar, it is different. And some women will have much more severe symptoms than others. But yes, I do believe it's an individual thing. And there again, that's why it's so important to find a female professional practitioner that specializes in women's health. You don't want somebody that is a, you know, they're a female doctor or a female nurse practitioner or similar that has a general practice, you know, their scope of practice is general. Ideally, you find somebody that does this on a daily basis so they can look at the individual and look at the individual's symptoms and then additionally look at what's going on. So what do I mean by look at what's going on? Is look at the data, do a blood draw, see where the hormones are, do a 24-hour saliva test and see what's going on with cortisol levels via that saliva test, and then start to look at where are the opportunities to balance hormones or manage cortisol for the individual and not just a blanket, try this, do this.
Okay. So I want to get into hormone replacement therapy in a second and hear your opinion on a few different things. But before we get there, if a middle-aged woman comes into you, she's 52 years old, she's starting to get belly fat that she's never had, doesn't quite feel right, but wants to see some results, how are you going to help her? What are the first steps that you're going to take?
That regardless of where somebody is, there is no substitute for resistance training and an intelligent approach to nutrition. So, you know, we look at the going through the stages or phases of menopause and the role hormones play with bone density in women. One of the easiest ways to maintain or even increase bone density is to weight train. So they have to be weight training. The next piece is calories become really important. Like you have to be consistent with eating the right amount of calories for your shape, size, activity level. So those are two things, those are must-dos. And then in conversation, if the individual says, I can go a month without having a period, or I spot for 3 weeks, or whatever, then it's probably indicating that for sure we have proof via symptoms consistent with perimenopause for sure, early stage menopause for sure, or getting to menopause where we don't have a cycle. We're starting down that path. In those cases, you know, I'll depending on the individual, I might say go, you know, go see a female practitioner that specializes in women's health. Look for a blood draw, and blood draw is going to give you a snapshot of what's going on at that moment in time. Request a 24-hour saliva test, where typically they'll collect three samples, or I'm sorry, four samples, one in the morning, one early afternoon, one mid afternoon or late afternoon, and one before bed, because that that saliva test is going to tell you what your cortisol levels are doing. And typically when a middle-aged woman starts to go through the phases of menopause, you'll see cortisol will decline in the afternoon, and cortisol plays a role as fight and flight. So you'll be tired in the afternoon, and then you'll find yourself between like 2:30 and 3:30 a.m. wide awake. It's because your cortisol is elevated in the middle of the night when it should be low, and it's gone down in the middle of the afternoon when it should be high. But going and getting, finding out exactly where you are is really important. And then looking at, the over-the-counter things to manage your overall health and well-being. So are you B vitamin deficient? That's going to play a role with your energy levels. Are you vitamin D as in dog deficient? That's going to play a role in a number of things. And a good practitioner can tell you those things. Vitamin B is water soluble. So is vitamin C, ironically, but vitamin B is water soluble. So you can have it, and there's not a concern for having too much. Vitamin D, it can be toxic at high levels. So you don't just want a totally shotgun approach, taking tons of vitamin D, because if you consume too much, it can be toxic. So those are two things to look at: managing the cortisol level, maybe using stuff to manage cortisol before you go bed. Phosphatidylserine, I think, is one supplement that might help. Ashwagandha can help with reducing stress. And then also overall looking at lifestyle, if cortisol is going crazy and up and down, we don't want to add to the stress. So looking at things you can do from a lifestyle standpoint to mitigate daily stress is going to go a long way. But that's usually it. I mean, first and foremost, for everybody walking the planet, it's going to be weights and nutrition. We're not skipping it. That's going to keep coming up. Weights and nutrition.
So do you ever feel like, and this is a very personal question of mine and something that I've wondered about at different points of my life, but as an example, like my mom, incredible athlete, always been thin, even through having six kids, and she's very active and always has been, but more so like we grew up on a farm. She always had a huge garden. She was chasing after six kids. Like she probably didn't sit down for 15 hours a day. Active, but not, she's never really religiously weight trained, and she's never had to be super good about her diet. We always grew up on a very country diet, would be a broad way of describing it. And then you could even bring in what you just brought up, like your stress levels. How are you coping? How are you managing? Do you feel like for some people, menopause takes away the flexibility that maybe they once had a little bit? Like, hey, you got away with this for a while, but part of what you're also sensing and feeling is you have to be a little bit better about taking care of yourself. You do actually need to watch what you eat finally. You do need resistance training, even though you've gone 30 years without it and been okay. Like, do you feel like it strips away that safety net somewhat?
It does. And I used to see this a lot in practice in the gym. We would average, say, 200, 250 people a day came through the front door, and I would see, cherry picking along gender lines, women that in their late teens, early 20s, late 20s, were always a size two, had terribly inconsistent workout habits. If they even came to the gym, they favored cardio, very little weights. They were always a size two. They always looked great in a bikini. Their eating habits were horrendous. They never worried about what they ate. Many of them smoke and drink on a consistent basis and never worried about it and never had a concern because they never looked any different. And then when they get into their 30s, it catches up. So now they don't have good nutrition habits. They don't have a consistent habit of doing weight training. And we start to see them gain body fat. That's step one, or piece number one. Piece number two, or step two, is in addition to that, changes in hormones do play a role in gaining body fat. And that's why, around menopause, we see many women gain weight in the same spot, their midsection. So it's hard to ignore just anecdotally looking at what we physically see without being doctors. women that are menopausal seem to all gain weight in about the same area of the body. So clearly there's something going on related to menopause. But I don't think we can completely discount the fact that if you haven't been doing the load-bearing activity, that there's research on this, and the research and the resulting data is clear. And I don't remember what the numbers are, and I gave the textbook to somebody and they didn't return it. But it's like every decade women gain X percent body fat, and that gain of X percent body fat every 10 years is really a direct result, first and foremost, of their lack of load-bearing activity and not maintaining the muscle mass that they had in their 20s. And they have less of it in their 30s, and they have less of it in their 40s, and they have less of it in their 50s. So I think it's a combination of things. And I actually think it's harder on people that until they're in their mid-30s, they've never paid attention to the gym or the food. And now they're in their mid-30s, and if they're female, they're in their mid-30s, they're in that perimenopause phase or stage, and there's going to be some fluctuations, some changes, poor quality of sleep, irritability, a little bit of depression, and then maybe the start of some weight gain because hormones are fluctuating. And on top of it, they've never developed that foundation of being aware of what they eat and being aware that they have to train with weights. Cardio's not going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's where seeking out that professional guidance, even if you're already a tremendously disciplined person and you don't need constant ongoing babysitting or something like that, it's so worth that professional insight of this is what you're missing, whether it's eating or food, and knowing the path that you should be on, because I think that's what I've witnessed in my own family is that exact factor, that what they've always done hasn't worked now, and they need help knowing, how am I supposed to be eating? How am I supposed to be training to continue down a path of success?
And also understand, like, and I started to tell the women at the gym that were coming in, I'm like, you're not alone. I know this because person A, B, and C, all persons A, B, and C came in and shared the same thing. Like, get together with your peers, because you're, what you're experiencing, like to your point earlier, the symptoms might be individually different, worse or less, but you're all having a similar experience. And it's normal in that, like, it's not to be completely dismissed by a male doctor, like, oh, suck it up, you'll get through this. No, like that's not an acceptable answer, but you're not alone. Other women are feeling and going through the same thing, and they're going to have the same struggle. If you're brand new to having to worry about what you did or didn't eat and trying to figure out what foods have protein and what's a carbohydrate, and how do you even track or know how much of one or the other you get, and you've never lifted weights, like, you're not alone. There's plenty of other people of your age group that are having the same issues and the exact same struggles.
So of the clients that you've worked with over the years, let's separate men and women for a second. What percentage of them ended up on some type of hormonal replacement therapy?
I think it's I would say that many off and on, but for women, like, my best answer is nothing more than a guess, because I never tracked it and I never followed up and said, hey, did your doctor put you on hormones? And hormones may or may not always be the answer. They might be part of the answer. And the goal is to balance things out so that the patient, now I'm talking from the standpoint of medicine, and this isn't what I do, but the goal is for the patient to feel like themselves, for the patient to feel normal. So it might be managing cortisol. It might be making sure that vitamin D as in dog is adequate for them to feel normal. Making sure that they're not deficient in vitamin B as in boy. And then maybe it's the use of some prescription hormones to balance out the hormones. But that's
so can women be on estrogen and testosterone? What does that look like?
I'm going to say I don't know for sure, but I would say I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have women that are on one or the other. I women do get prescribed real low dose testosterone. That does happen, and I'm actually seeing more clients in that position today than I was 10 or 15 years ago. 10 years ago, I never heard of any female being prescribed testosterone. But I've probably talked to four women in the last 4 months that have all been doctor prescribed hormone. The male hormone testosterone is a way to balance their hormones to help them feel normal and more like themselves as a middle-aged menopausal female. And
I've always been intrigued by that, like even person to person, and what's visible to the naked eye. How easily could you pick out a female that actually does have naturally occurring higher testosterone levels and things like that? Or like if you tested two siblings that have very different body compositions, but similar genetics, how off are their hormones from one sister to the other or something like that?
Yeah, and there is going to be variability. I would say that there can be things that might indicate a higher natural testosterone level. For example, performance in the weight room, how easy it is for them to gain and maintain muscle mass, things of that nature. I would say, but beyond that, again, like we're not talking what somebody on the drug side of the bodybuilding sport would be taking. It should be nothing more than a therapeutic dose of hormones to help that person balance their hormones and feel like themselves and normal. And that shouldn't be enough of, you know, male hormone testosterone to look like the Incredible Hulk.
Would you say that you have been around more male clients that are utilizing hormonal replacement therapy than your female clients?
Today, I don't know what I would say probably more women being prescribed. And I'll say that because most of my clients are female. So by default, I have more female customers. Therefore, more of my customers are likely to be female on hormones if they're on hormones. And a lot many men won't hire a coach. They're going to do things for themselves. We've got it all figured out. Just ask us, right? Don't need any help. I already know what I'm doing. Thank you. I'm happy to tell you what to do, but I've got it sorted. I'm good.
Yeah.
I will say that I'm talking to more and more middle-aged people. And I wouldn't say it's just because I'm middle-aged, because this has always been true, but I'm talking to more and more middle-aged people that are on hormones, especially males. Like I'm having a lot of female clients or potential female clients who volunteer that their husband's on testosterone or hormone replacement therapy from the doctor, which I find interesting. Because to be honest, I think many of the men are being prescribed the hormones. One, they're probably asking for it because it's seen as a bit of a shortcut. It's seen as still a bit of a taboo, illegal steroids, right? Thing. But I think a lot of them, if they do check the boxes to be prescribed hormones, it's a result of lifestyle. You know, there's data that suggests male testosterone levels in North America have been declining annually since the 1980s. There's no question there's more environmental estrogens or xenoestrogens that impact men and women than there were 30, 40, 50 years ago. Men are doing far less load-bearing activities as your body. I mean, go to the grocery store. My God, go to the airport, go to the beach, and just look at the fat people. If your body fat goes up, your testosterone levels are going to be impacted in a negative way. And I think there's a lot of males that are being prescribed hormones and really, really they could do a lot for themselves by fixing their lifestyle, incorporating load-bearing activity, losing some body fat. And if you go that route, there's no side effects. There are side effects for drugs. I mean, just watch television commercials. you know, may cause XYZ is at the end of every commercial, increased risk of ABC. But I am seeing and hearing a lot more people are being prescribed stuff, and it's people you'd never think of. They're like, I'm like, what? Seriously? And I didn't see that 10 years ago. I definitely didn't see it 20 years ago. It was about 04, 05 when like the first clinic in the greater Chicago suburban area that I was aware of started prescribing hormones to adult males. So we just didn't see it. We didn't hear about it. And part of it is, you know, the answer is always, well, it was underdiagnosed. Yeah, there's probably that in part, but there's also, I mean, look around again, go to the beach. 20 years ago, you didn't see all of these fat people. And if fat's going to offend some people, I don't care. It's the way it is. You didn't see it. So it's not all a matter of, well, we just didn't diagnose it. I just think we had less of it. And the data suggests, you know, data suggests an annual decline in testosterone in adult males in North America going back to the 80s.
I think it is worth noting, though, too, that if you are exploring a medical route, one of the greatest benefits is hopefully receiving pharmaceutical grade hormones or treatment modalities, but also the ability to continue to test all of your levels across the board, because you know you're getting into a world where things don't just affect one thing, it can affect lots of things.
It's dominoes.
And even that monitoring can be so important and such a good reason for people to seek medical help in pursuing this rather than trying to do it through other channels.
And that, like, when I went and was seeking more information in regards to menopause, the medical practitioners that I talked to way back when, and I went and pulled up some old content that I shot with one or two of them to prepare for this, the same thing came back. Like, their goal was to balance things and bring the patient back to the patient feeling normal, like their old self again. That's not taking levels crazy high. It's bringing them back to what might be labeled as their normal, right? It's not taking lots, you know, more of a good thing isn't a good thing. It can be quickly become a bad thing. And in regards to hormones, we're talking about prescription drugs, and they are like a domino. You know, if this domino falls and knocks the next domino over, there's a cascade of things that happen. And that's why, you know, again, back to what the practitioners told me, like, their goal was to balance. And they would collect data via blood draws and a 24-hour saliva test. And those are two of the things that provide data that says, are we or are we not balancing things? We don't want to have too much vitamin D because it can be toxic. So, and when we look at prescription drugs, it's no different. There should be a data collection, say monthly, quarterly. I think a lot of the practitioners, at least on the male side of things, are quarterly, and they should be looking at your cholesterol levels. They should be looking at other factors that can create other health issues.
Yeah. And so women could obviously choose to start working with someone like yourself right now, whether you're 35 or 45 or peri or post or right in the middle of it. You know, you can really change so many things around you. But when you do meet with someone that's experiencing all of these symptoms, is there a line that you get to where you feel like, you know, almost like referring out, but hey, you do need to go make an appointment if you're experiencing it to this level, or is that strictly personal?
I had two drug-free, drug-tested pro female physique competitors in the last year that were struggling to get lean, and they were sharing with me how they were feeling, how life was going. And within that sharing of how they were feeling and how life was going were many symptoms associated with the stages of menopause, which I told them, like, you're not losing weight because your hormones are going all over the board. And I know this because you told me these things are happening or these things are not happening. And at that point, for each of them, like, that's the best I can offer you. Like, I can't analyze your blood and I can't analyze your saliva, but a practitioner could. So if you really want to confirm this and nail it down, find a local female practitioner that specializes in women's health and ask for a blood draw and ask them, not all of them. And again, this sometimes indicates how specialized they are at women's health and their experience level, and tell them you want the 24-hour saliva test and get those results and have them review them with you, because that will tell you a lot more for sure what's going on. And in each of those cases, we had to adjust training and nutrition, and we had to be patient to continue to have the body fat come down and the muscle mass be maintained. And from experience, like, I'd seen that before, like, if they're not in full-blown menopause, meaning they haven't had a menstrual cycle in a year, I'm like, you're not fully in menopause because you've had a period or you've had parts of a period. And normally when I've seen this, you'll get to, you might have a couple months of normal where the hormones just go back to where they should be. And hopefully we get lucky and that's around the date of your contest.
Mm-hmm. Right around that would be great.
Yeah. But beyond that, you know, I can't do a blood draw and I can't do a saliva test and I certainly can't prescribe medication. So the next step is to go see the medical professional that in practice does this for a living.
So what are your big takeaways for a woman that is either not quite yet or currently starting to experience some menopausal symptoms? What are your big takeaways for that woman today?
One of the only times that I see clients, if they're compliant, they're doing the work on their end, struggle to change at all, and change meaning lose body fat, gain muscle mass, is hormones. The best example of that, when the Depo-Provera shot came out, it's a birth control shot. It's supposed to be super convenient, one shot every 3 months. I had a female client, this is like 20 years ago. She was in the equestrian world, in amazing physical shape, could do 10, 15 bodyweight pull-ups, everything that goes with riding horses, maintaining horses, cleaning stalls, all that, amazing shape. Started that form of birth control, and it was like weekly was gaining fat. And just kept gaining fat. And I'm like, it's a shot. Called the doctor, the male doctor, of course. So he's like, no, there's very few women experience any weight gain side effects. And it, like, literally, she put like 20 or 30 pounds on in months. It was terrible. So hormones can do that, right? So if your hormones are changing in menopause, you can experience some weight gain. Now, that being said, what I have witnessed from experience is, and what I've learned is, if you're concerned, go to a female practitioner that specializes in women's health. Find a group of your peers that are in a similar position. You are not alone. Other people are going through the same things, and there are tools to help manage and in some cases alleviate the symptoms. So go seek out the experts and get the help so that you can balance things and go back to being normal again. Don't discount how important the weight training is, and don't discount how important it is from a nutrition standpoint to consistently get your food right. And that's like, if you want to get on a bodybuilding stage, a physique stage, and compete at a low body fat, you got to get your food right or you're not going to do very well. I think menopause, it's even more important to get your food right so that you can minimize the amount of weight gained or at minimum best manage it.
That's perfect. Well, I feel like there's so many conversations today about women's health being a little bit behind in some ways. You know, we don't have all of the data points and things like that. So thank you for being an advocate for women's health, for being an advocate for women to advocate for themselves as
well.
For
sure. And, you know, there's a reason for that. That's like when statin drugs came out, initially they were marketed to men. It was like, women don't have hearts and don't have cardiovascular disease and don't have heart attacks and don't have strokes, right? The reason for that, like, we arrive at that because medicine in a large part was a male-dominated field, except for nursing, right? So the people that were MDs and in the practice of medicine traditionally were male. The people that were PhD MDs, so they had a research doctorate and a medical doctorate, were typically males. So everything was slanted and geared towards men because it was men doing it. And that's why I keep beating this dead horse. Like, don't see a male doctor. For the same reason we ended up with everything with a bend towards men, go see a female because they're going to have a tendency, at minimum, they're going to be able to relate. Like, at minimum, right? They're just like you. So they will be able to relate, but they're going to have a tendency to be more involved and have greater insight because, you know, the boat you're in, they were either in it, they are in it, or they will be in it in the future.
Well, anything else today, Ray?
It always comes back to you. Like, you have to do the load bearing activity. Like, we've done a number of these podcasts, and that is the number one thing. And it's going to continue to be the number one thing. And it keeps showing up. Even at, you know, when you look at males, lifting heavy weights plays a role in maximizing that individual's ability to produce testosterone. So if you want to maximize natural testosterone, don't skip leg day. Squat big. Get under a bar that's bending in the J hooks and walk it out of the rack and squat it.
Simple, straightforward, as always, Ray.
I don't make the rules.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
If you like our content, be sure to subscribe to our channel. Leave us a comment below. Also, be sure to check us out on your favorite podcast provider. See the links in the description below.